We're the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. We are focusing this morning on Rutherford County, only Rutherford County. So if you have any questions, comments, or anything, text or call and focus on Rutherford County. Don't ask about any of the municipalities. Our county mayor, Joe Carr, is with us this morning. A big smile on Joe. Good morning to you.
Morning, Bart. How are you this morning?
Doing great. Good to have you with us
today.
Thank you.
Glad to be here, as always.
Beautiful day out today.
It is. I could be on the farm breaking a colt or running the sawmill.
And you chose to come up here
instead.
And
I chose to spend my morning with you, Bart. It was a no-brainer.
Made my day. Oh. Well, speaking of making somebody's day, tomorrow is a day that will make your day, tomorrow evening. Tell us what's going to be happening.
So I think Doug DeMasi is going to be here in WGNS later in the day. Lisa Kay, our public information officer, has shared that with me. Tomorrow is, I don't say it's the culmination, but we're getting to the culmination of about a two-year process where the Planning Commission and the county leaders are putting together what's called Plan Rutherford, and that is to discuss how we want to grow and what do we want that growth to look like, how we're going to essentially fund it. These are long-term strategies that are designed to assist the county in managing its growth to the extent that it reflects who we want to be. And I think this is extremely important, and it has been said by me many times, and it's probably oversaid a little bit, but it's because I really believe in this principle, and it's found in the Word, in the Book of Psalms. It says, a people without vision will perish. And so what this plan Rutherford does is it's a strategic plan as to how we're going to grow, what that growth looks like, where that growth and type of growth is going to take place in the county. And this has been a 24-month process where not just community leaders, but even more importantly, the people can have input. My ideas at 66, having a farm in Las Casas, about what the county should look like, I'm sure are somewhat different than yours, and they should be. We have a little bit different lifestyles. We have a little different needs, but I think generally speaking, we all want the same thing for the county. So, Doug DeMasi, the planning director for Rutherford County, has led the charge on this, and he's done a great job. So tomorrow evening will be the presentation of the final draft for the public, and that'll be at the Lane Ag Center.
Okay, now, is it going to be in the part where the farmer's market is or in the auditorium part?
That's a great question, Bart.
Two different locations.
I'm sure Lisa Kay is listening, my public information officer. So, Lisa Kay, since you're listening to this broadcast, because you dutifully listen every month when I'm on the radio with Bart, would you please send me a text?
As to which one?
As to where it's going to take place.
And there are two different. One is where at the very back of the facility, which is where the farmer's market is. It's a big facility. And the other one is the big building at the very front.
Well, she's already sent me a text. I've already made one mistake this morning, Bart.
Okay.
And by the way, she's really good at pointing out all my mistakes. So she stays very, very busy at pointing out the mistakes the mayor makes. She just sent me a text. She's not going to be on WGNS today. She's going to be with Doug's going to be with WKRN, the television station. Regardless, Lisa Kay, if you're listening, and I know you are because you've already heard me make one mistake, can you find out where the meeting is? Is it where the where they have the farmer's market, or if it's in that auditorium in the Maiden Building? I would appreciate you letting me know, Lisa, and we can get that out to the listeners.
It's from 5:30 to 7:30 tomorrow, and people just show up. Is that right?
At the Lane Ag Community Center. That's at 315 John Rice Boulevard. Well, it's Suite 101. That would be in the auditorium.
So in the front building.
Yeah, the front building. That's right. So if I would read my notes here, Bart, that's two mistakes. Do I just need to leave? I mean,
I think she'll be waiting outside the door and slap you on the hand.
She won't slap me on the hand, Bart. I only wish she would slap me on the hand. But it's 101. So I believe that's the main building as you enter in right in front of you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So be over there tomorrow about 5:30.
Yep.
And is it a stroll-through event where you can share whatever concerns you have?
Yeah, it's not going to be a formal presentation. Doug was telling me yesterday this is going to be interactive, so I know that members of the Planning Commission will be there. I'll be there. Doug will be there. The GNRC people who helped lead us through this, Greater Regional Nashville Council, will be there. They're going to help us. So it's meant to get people to look at the final draft. That final draft will be presented, and then they can ask questions. And so it's to be very interactive. And this is the final presentation, although with the draft in this format, but then we'll go to the Planning Commission. Then that's where another place where people can share their ideas and ask questions as well.
Okay, so if people have questions or concerns about the landfill, is this a place to talk about that, or is that
you can? But this is more about how we manage growth. Okay,
okay.
We're talking about primarily the residential and the commercial growth in the county. What do we want to do about that growth? How do we want to maintain the farmland? Is that something we want to do? To what extent do we want to do that? How do we want to manage the lot size of homes? Do we want PUDs, that's urban development, public urban development, private urban development, and so those kinds of things. So we want to make sure that the people understand how we're going to, manage the growth, primarily the residential growth of the county to meet the needs of the county.
And what about school capacity? Maybe people have feelings on that.
Yeah, that would definitely play into it, obviously, because when you talk about managing residential growth, what are we talking about? You're talking about how then we're going to pay for schools and how we're going to pay for roads and how we're going to pay for fire and EMS and law enforcement, you know, and who pays for those things and how are we going to pay for those things and what do we want it to look like? I mean, do we want to preserve our farms, and to what extent are we willing to do that? And then the discussion is, quite honestly, Bart, for a lot of these farmers, they're, you know, 100, 200 acre farm is their 401k, and they've been investing in this farm for years, if not generations, and the county needs to be careful about taking away their property rights because they've invested in that, and that is their 401k because that's how they're going to retire, or that's how they're going to pass on something to their kids. So, you know, there's a balancing act here, and we got to be careful. And also, we need to be careful that when we put this plan together, that we understand the consequences of what we're doing economically. And that is, as you know, Rutherford County is a economic engine unlike any other in the state. I mean, it's the fastest growing county in the state. That has, and I've talked about this a lot on your show, that creates a lot of challenges for the county. We're meeting those challenges. But we also want to be careful about moving from one extreme maybe to another extreme. And that is, we want to be careful that we don't turn off the economic spigot that so many people in Rutherford County rely on to provide a living for their families. And so we want to be careful, and we don't want to create an unnecessary hardship for anybody. So, you know, I'm hoping that the citizens, the home builders, the realtors, the developers, community leaders, everybody will show up tomorrow evening and express their concerns and ask their questions, because we want to take those into consideration.
Now, we've talked about size of schools and things of that sort. What about traffic?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody, when the first thing people say that is a concern for them, it's traffic.
So I had an epiphany on traffic this weekend, Bart. You know, because I, too, was in the category that the traffic in and around Rutherford County, in particular Murfreesboro, is horrific. And let me just say, it's bad, all right? And it's bad for a number of reasons, which I don't have to go into at this time. But it is getting better. But I want to say this. my wife and I took a train ride in Etowah, Tennessee. If you know where Etowah is.
I have taken that train ride.
Really? So down
it's
the,
great.
Yes, down the Hiawatha River Valley.
Up until to the state line.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And so my wife and I did that train ride over the weekend.
It's great.
It is great. And I didn't come here to talk about the train ride, but just I would encourage if you enjoy doing a train ride, especially doing a scenic train ride down the Hiawatha Valley, go do that. It's in Etowah, Tennessee. But anyway, so we're coming
back.
That's
part of the Tennessee Valley Railroad Museum.
That's correct, which is a nonprofit. I'm trying real hard not to talk about the train ride part, and
okay. You
want to talk about the train ride.
Push it there.
You are distracted.
Sorry about that.
I'm going to lose my train of thought. No
is that
pun.
A bee
I'm going to lose my train of thought if I'm not careful,
yes.
Bart.
A honeybee. Is that a honeybee around your head?
Oh, my goodness. So my wife and I are coming back from Etowah, and it's Sunday evening. Late Sunday afternoon, early Sunday evening, and you would think there would be no traffic on the road. I'm telling you, from the time that we entered Chattanooga and drove through Chattanooga, it wasn't until we got over Monteagle Mountain that the traffic finally let up. And then when we got through, we're now on I-24 going toward Nashville, coming from Murfreesboro. And then when we got to the Rutherford County, Coffee County line, the traffic started up again. And I'm telling you, there were some places, there was no accident. There wasn't an accident, but there were some places on the interstate, literally because of the volume of traffic coming up 24, that we were doing less than 40 miles an hour.
So that's
an
issue.
And there was no accident. My point being is Tennessee has a traffic problem, a serious traffic problem generally. And I think Rutherford County is a accurate reflection of that traffic problem. So when we talk about traffic congestion in Rutherford County, I mean, it's much bigger than that. And I think we need, when it comes to traffic congestion, we got to think a little more globally and not just how can I move quicker, 5 minutes quicker from one side of Murfreesboro to the other, or how can I get from Smyrna to Laverne, or how can I get through Rockvale out to Eagleville 5 minutes faster? We've got to think a little more strategically. And what does the growth do strategically to us solving that problem, or at least mitigating it in some way, because it is significant.
And so people need to be at that gathering tomorrow evening.
Yes, sir.
At 5:30 to 7:30 at the Lane Agri Park.
Please. And, I will be there. I will be there, and I'll be glad to answer your questions. I know that some of the commissioners from the county commissioners are going to be there. I know some of the people from from the steering committee for this plan Rutherford, they're going to be there. Doug DeMasi's going to be there. The Greater Nashville Regional Council representatives that assisted us in putting this plan Rutherford together there. This is not the final document. This is the draft, the final draft, but it is not the final document. So your listeners have an opportunity to provide input, which we really, really need. We want that input. We want this to be a Rutherford County document that everybody has had an opportunity to participate in.
Well, let me ask you this, because this is people will listen and they're thinking, how big of a chance will my thoughts be of being heard? Will this be sort of a one-on-one at tables, that people go to tables for subjects?
Yeah, you can. You can be that way. It'll be people standing around. It'll be people standing at these displays. And so but your question is, how much of an opportunity does somebody have for their comments and their opinions to matter? Well, I will tell you this. Your comment and opinion will not matter if you don't show up and express it.
Amen.
Okay.
On that.
So I want you, the county needs you. If you have an opinion on this plan Rutherford and with regard to the strategic growth over the next 20 to 30 years of what you want this county to look like, then please show up and express that opinion, that point of view, that perspective. The county needs you to do that. And again, we can't read your mind, but we can have a dialogue, and yes, it will make a difference.
And that's tomorrow night, 5:30 to 7:30, right there at the Lane Agri Park in the main building right on the...
Well, no, now Lisa Kay is telling me.
It has been moved while we're talking.
While we're talking. Apparently, it will be at the community center where the farmer's market is held. There will be signage to guide people, so that'll be great.
We need a lot
of signs, Lisa Kay. So make the sign. We will have signage there to guide people, but
maybe take us by the hand and show us back.
You know, the people of Rutherford County are quite intelligent. They know how to find things. Believe me, they know how to find things, and they're good at getting it done. But please come out and participate in it, because this is very, very important.
5:30 to 7:30 tomorrow night.
Yes, sir.
Lane Agri Park, where you go to the farmer's market.
Yeah, absolutely. And Bart, I would love for WGNS to be there.
Well, I would love to be there.
That would be great. I think it would be great, because then you could, I'm not trying to tell you how to run your business or your show, but this is very, very important.
Oh, it is.
Because this is the roadmap for what we're going to look like going forward.
So that is tomorrow night.
Right.
So you need to be there.
Yes, sir.
Tell you what, we have some other subjects coming up. We have people texting questions in. We're going to pause for just a moment and continue the conversation. Our Rutherford County Mayor Joe Carr is with us. Stay with us. We'll be right back. The focus is on Rutherford County. Talk with the police chief, the mayor, and other local leaders about issues that concern you.
The Action Line with Bart Walker, weekdays at 8:10 on WGNS.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. We started doing a limited time only menu, so once a month we add new menu items to it for 1 month only. We're bringing back an old item that we used to have that we don't have anymore. So, for example, we brought back clam sauce spaghetti this month. Last month we had Greek spaghetti. And again, that'll change. Now that you've heard about the changes that we're making at Demas's, you need to check it out. So come on over right now. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, this is Amanda at Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. We have all the items needed to spoil your pet, toys, food, treats, and more. Whether you're a new pet parent or a very experienced one, you'll find the items and help you need here at Animal City. We are proud and thankful to be celebrating our 33rd year in the Murfreesboro community. That's Animal City. We're at 919 Northwest Broad Street, right here in Murfreesboro. Please check out our Facebook page.
Hey folks, it's Mike Sparks, 49th District House member. Running for re-election, would ask for your support.
The issues Mike's championed include the First and Second Amendment tax cut bills, passing legislation to improve mental health, the Safe Storage of Firearms Act, plus he sponsored affordable housing legislation that passed this year. Mike Sparks has been outspoken on Jefferson Pike for 20 years, which led to the $70 million widening project that's almost complete. We need Mike Sparks to remain in the State House.
This Mike Sparks, asking for your vote.
Playful buses like Mike Sparks, Alicia Sparks Treasure.
I happened to glance up, and the clear sky was gone.
Coast to coast, all night, every night.
All I could see was something round and black.
On WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Welcome back. Our phone number is 615-893-1450. A listener just sent us some information, said... they're having a big event at Bradyville Road Church of Christ coming up, a trunk or treat on Saturday, October 26th, 7 o'clock, 5 to 7 in the evening, and that's at Bradyville Road Church of Christ, 1265 Bradyville Pike. Another big family carnival for free. Everything's free, they say, including the food for the whole community tonight, 5 until 7. At First Presbyterian Church in Uptown Murfreesboro, right there at the corner of College and Spring Street. Underline the word free. Yeah. The Action Line this morning is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric through Sharing Change. Middle Tennessee Electric has contributed over $11 million to local nonprofits, supporting meaningful causes in our community. Learn more about sharingchange.org. And thank you, Middle Tennessee Electric. Our guest this morning, Rutherford County Mayor Joe Carr. And we have a listener asking about the sycamore tree. They say that they've heard that the death of the tree, the downing of the tree, is coming up soon.
Yes, I think we're going to. So what we've done is we've done, as I've said on this show, we've spent a lot of time and a lot of money in an effort to save the tree. Unfortunately, it's just an old tree. And when things get old, sometimes they die, Bart. And the
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And you and I are kind of...
We're moving in that
we're
direction.
We're knocking on heaven's door. You and I are, right? Not yet, but, you know, we're headed to glory land. But nonetheless, last year, last winter, that the serious sub-zero weather when we got down below 10 below zero, that had a really, really detrimental impact on the tree. We have had an arborist out, a nationally acclaimed arborist flew in and gave us an assessment of the tree. We've had a tree surgeon look at it, and we have found that the tree is about five and a half, maybe 6 feet in diameter. But the inside of the tree is completely hollow.
Oh, man.
So there is a 4 foot, at least a 4 foot cavity inside the tree. And if you know anything about trees, and I do, quite honestly, I can say I know as much about trees as I do about bees, that you have what's called heartwood and then you have sapwood. The heartwood is basically the life of the tree, and it is the center of the tree. That heartwood is gone. There is no heartwood left. All that is left is sapwood. And so the tree is completely hollow. The bark has already started to fall off. And I know there have been some commissioners who've talked about maybe sculpting, making a sculpture out of it or something like that. There's nothing there to sculpt with. As a matter of fact, a sculpture and something like that would need heartwood to sculpt with, not the sapwood. The sapwood is typically very soft and it decays and rots real easy. It's the hardwood or the heartwood that you need, and there is little if any heartwood left in that tree. So we will be the plan right now is to cut the tree on November 6th. And I think Lisa Kay has been in touch with you about that. We're going to have a little ceremony. Greg Tucker, the county historian, is going to be there. He's going to read something about the history of the tree. You also know, or the listeners know, that we have done some cuttings and some grafting of that tree. Jack Carter, who did that, tells me he pulled about a dozen different cuttings. And right now he thinks that, from what he's telling us, a half a dozen, maybe eight of those cuttings have already established roots, which is really, really good. So we have at our disposal the genetic replica of that tree, and it's my hope that we will plant one of those replicas in place of that tree at some future date, maybe in the next half a dozen, 8 years. And so that tree will be replaced by its genetic offspring. So we're excited about that.
So this tree cutting and the closing ceremony, the tribute to the tree.
Right. Be on November 6th.
Which is a Wednesday.
Yes, sir. And I can get Lisa Kay to send you something on that too. But I believe they're going to be up November, weather permitting. Obviously, it can't be raining or anything like that. But I know that Eddie Miller and Elam Miller, who's descendant great-great-great-grandfather Alfred Miller, brought the tree up there, so they're going to be up here. So it's going to be kind of cool. We don't want it to be a somber event, because quite honestly the future is we're going to replace that tree with a genetically identical tree at a later date that we're propagating now.
Well, now that we have the date on that, we have a listener who's sent us a text, and this is not going to work out, but I'll go ahead and mention this. They say that tree has meant something special to them since they are a child.
Wow.
They said that their dad was a soldier, and they've always had the Veterans Day ceremonies right there under that tree.
Yeah,
they have
I know.
Some fond memories.
I know.
And Veterans Day is, what, the 11th, just around just a few days
right
after this.
And it's the memories.
Oh, that's what it's about.
It's the memories. Let's be honest. A tree is a tree. There's nothing in particular significant about any tree from any other tree, except for what that tree represents to so many people and the memories that tree was able to capture just by being there. And so that's what's important here. And so we want to continue that legacy with its genetic identical going forward. So that's the plan right now. I hope the county commission will approve that idea. That I wish it were my idea, but it's not. So the county commission doesn't have to worry about saying no to the mayor if that's what they're hung up on, because they do like to say no to the mayor just because. It's
so
interesting.
This is November 6th, sort of a tentative date, or and we'll
no, it, yeah. Well, it's only tentative in the sense that weather permitting. So okay. if it's raining or something like that, off or storming, obviously we can't.
And the public's encouraged to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. We can watch, and there's going to be a ceremony. I will get Lisa Kay to get in contact with you. We would love for WGNS to be there to record that, because it is a historically significant occasion.
We're going to
videotape it. We would like for you to record it, obviously, and then that could be archived, because at some point in time, Rutherford County, it's going to have a museum. And it's this kind of thing that we want to put in the museum.
That is phenomenal. And yes, that's sir. What holds our community together. And again, you
it
said
is.
It's the memories.
It is the memories. It's and I will tell you, it's the memories that produce, in large part, the vision. So you need the memories to have, you need the history to have the future, right? So they truly work hand in hand together. So a people without vision will perish, but that vision comes from an understanding and appreciation of the memories and the significance those memories have on us.
Wouldn't you love to be able to talk to that tree and have it tell?
I would love to listen to that tree. Yes.
The Whittlers down there, the first Uncle Dave, Macon Dave.
So from the beginning of Nathan Bedford's force, yes, charge up East Main Street.
It was there
it
watching.
It was there. And it was a young tree, but it was there. And then you have this, the whole, the, it's witnessing of the Reconstruction era after the Civil
it
War.
It saw Spider-Man fall off the cupola.
Yeah, the World War One and the World War II veterans and the time they spent there. And just the whole thing, Bart.
The Japanese submarine that came to the square.
Yeah, the whole General MacArthur.
Yes.
I mean, we could go on and on.
And his Rolls Royce that someone got that broke down. And they had to push it up. These are things nobody makes these
that's
up.
That's right. And then, of course, even more important than all the things that, all the memories that you and I are familiar with, like the rest of the community, but those memories that nobody knows about that get brought to light because of this occasion. So those are the things, the obscure, the forgotten things that we get reminded of that need to be chronicled. If that makes any sense. They need to be written down. They need to be preserved.
Wednesday, November 6th.
Yes, sir.
That's the day after Election Day.
It'll be that morning. And so we will get an announcement out, and we will send out a public release about the timing. We're going to do a brief ceremony, and we can't take too long because we don't want to take so long that they can't get the job done.
They're actually going to take it down that day.
Well, initially we were going to take it down to just above the fork in the tree, and so we have to have a meeting. We need to go back to the property management committee. Chairman McAdoo has been very involved in this, and I really appreciate Chairman McAdoo and his leadership on this. But we wanted to make sure that the tree, there wasn't any other use for the tree other than that could be preserved. I know that some members of the commission wanted to make a sculpture out of it, which, just be candidly, I didn't see how that was going to be done. So we exhausted that. There is no heartwood, and you need heartwood to.
It's hollow.
It's hollow. It is hollow inside. We scoped it. We literally put a scope inside of it, so you could see, and it's completely hollow. There's nothing there.
So be listening. We'll let you know about that Wednesday, November 6th morning event.
Yes, sir.
Right there at the old Sycamore
tree. And I'm glad your caller asked about it. I meant to bring that up. I'm glad they asked about that. So thanks to the caller.
We have another question here, which you alluded to. You alluded to the county museum, and they're wondering about the expansion. Is it still on?
Well, that's a priority of mine. I was hoping to get that done. Our problem is the idea is that the Goldstein building, where people go early vote,
is going on right
that's
now.
That's right. And please go vote. And the turnout's been great, by the way. Yeah. I went and voted the other day, and Glory to God, I had to stand in line, Bart. And I don't normally like standing in line, but you know, I don't mind standing in line when I'm voting, ironically enough.
I've gone there just about every election to Goldstein's in the past 5 or 10 years. Used to go to different
So
places.
For the listeners who don't know what we're talking about, we say the Goldstein building.
It's up on the square.
It's on the south side of the square. Yeah. It's where building and codes, planning and engineering, and the election commission are housed. They are in that building. The building is 20,000 square feet. It goes back over 100 years, I guess. But the building is not meant for being a administrative building for the county. It's just not. So it's in a
It's meant to be a department store.
And really, it's three buildings in one. And so it's uneven. And so what we want to do, the idea is to make it a county museum on the square and to take those staff offices that are in Goldstein and find them another location. So we are desperately trying to do that so we can facilitate that, because I think that would be a great location for a Rutherford County Murfreesboro museum.
Hopefully people remember going to Goldstein's. It was a classic department
store.
I mean people say Kane Sloan's was this was Murfreesboro's answer to Kane Sloan.
Oh, it was. And I if you're our age and you're a kid, you remember it very well, and you remember your mom going there to shop.
Yeah. And the windows were always impeccably designed.
Yeah, yes.
Just a beautiful place.
It was a place that people went to on the square. It was an attraction point. And so what we want to do is we want to recreate that early 1900s facade of what it looked like. And then, of course, then there would be a Rutherford County Museum, Cultural Arts and Museum inside there as an attraction and destination point for the square. It's just a part of the overall enhancement of the square and making the square a destination point, not just for people to shop, but people to visit, people to eat, and people to fellowship.
Here's another question from a listener. This one is a person asking about subdivisions as well as shopping centers, things of that sort. It seems like all of the green in the area is being covered up by expanded complexes. Is this a problem with the county, or is it strictly in the cities?
The answer to that is yes. It's a county and city challenge. And this question is why this questioner needs to come to Lane Agripark tomorrow night at 5:30 so they can voice that concern and see how that concern is going to be addressed into this Plan Rutherford solution for how we're going to manage strategic growth. We know we have to grow, but what does that growth look like, and what do we want it to look like, and to what extent do we need this growth in these locations? So I would encourage that caller, that individual who sent that text message, please show up tomorrow night, and so we can at least explain it, and your voice can be heard, so we can take that into consideration. But those are both county and city issues.
5:30 to 7:30 tomorrow night at the Lane Agripark.
Yes, sir.
Where the farmers market
yes,
is.
Yes, sir. I will be there. I might not be there right at 5:30, but I will be there by 6 at the latest.
Now, let me ask you this, because this deals with that. When people come over there, they share their ideas. At what point are those ideas put together and made public? I mean, we're not going to see the end results of a plan the next day or anything.
No, and so these ideas are incorporated, and the steering committee for Plan Rutherford then hears those, and they're really quite good at saying, okay, we need all the different perspectives we can. And so, you know, Rutherford County is blessed with a lot of really reasonable, practical people who love their community. And what we find out is that we're all trying to climb the same mountain. Everybody just may have a different route up the mountain. So we try not to get hung up in what path you're taking, just that we're all trying to do the same thing. We're trying to create a community in Rutherford County that reflects in some part its history, that takes in consideration the needs, present needs, with an idea of what those things look like going forward. And And so, and this document is not a final, it will, it's never a final document. This is a living document. So in 3 or 4 years from now, let's say we made an error in the planning document about implementing maybe subdivision sizes or lot sizes. There's nothing in this document that says we can't make those adjustments. Indeed, it's incumbent on us, if we make errors or mistakes, to make those changes and be responsive to community needs. This document won't be ever complete, ever, because it's responding to the current needs of the people of Rutherford County.
Here's another question. Mayor Carr, any thoughts on increasing the Rutherford County Sheriff's deputy pay for new hires and retention of existing officers? Murfreesboro Police are recruiting our county deputies with higher pay.
Yes, they are. And we are, yes, as a matter of fact, we are having a conversation with Sheriff Fitzhugh about that now, have been doing so for the last, gosh, two or three months. And our HR department is doing a salary survey to find out what other markets, other counties, other cities are paying. And we know that we have an issue there, and we are, yes, we are addressing that, and we will address that at the next budget cycle. So what that looks like yet, it's too early to tell. But yes, we understand that's a concern. We understand that's a legitimate concern. And Sheriff Fitzhugh and his staff do an outstanding job on a day-to-day basis representing his department. But also, I will say that Mike and I have a wonderful relationship. I mean, we talk to each other all the time. And so when Mike comes to me with a request, I take it very, very seriously. So, yes, we understand we have an issue here and we're addressing it.
Here's another question. This person says, I live in a rural area near the Eagleville area, and the traffic is getting more and more each afternoon when I go home. We're also fortunate to be getting more restaurants, more businesses in the area. And that, too, is increasing the traffic. Is there any chance that that roadway might be widened?
Are they? I would assume they're talking about State Route 99.
I'm guessing that.
Route does need to be widened all the way to Eagleville, in my opinion.
We just widened it.
Yeah, I know. But it's a heavy corridor. Yeah. And the problem is because it's a state route, that is a TDOT project. And so it's the answer to that question is that is not a Rutherford County decision. That is a Tennessee decision. And I would strongly encourage those in the Rockvale, Eagleville, and Blackman community who have to use Highway 99 and its arteries, please contact your state representative and your state senator because that route can't be widened without TDOT approval or help. It's a TDOT road.
And be ready, because that's not a quick fix.
No, I mean, how long did it take us to get Jefferson Pike widened? Oh. I mean, I was in the General
Assembly. Several deaths.
Yeah, I was in the General Assembly when that got started. I was in the General Assembly in 2008. It was on the agenda before I got there, and here it is 2024, and they're finally getting around to completing it. But that's how long it takes. TDOT, it just takes them a long time.
And Bradyville Pike hasn't even begun. That was in the same area.
It just takes TDOT a long time to get from concept through engineering to construction. Once the construction starts, they go pretty good, but it does take them forever to get to the construction phase of a project.
Didn't you mention at one time that the state does not do this on a ratio dealing with population? They try to do it equally with all parts of the state?
They do. Well, excuse me. The TDOT divides its funding up in among the three grand divisions. And they don't do it based on population exclusively or congestion. They try to, I mean, like West Tennessee, it doesn't have anywhere near the population, the congestion we have, yet they get an equal share of TDOT construction dollars, as I understand it. So it's an interesting formula. I do know that the governor and the General Assembly have agreed to expand I-24. And that is on the table, which, quite honestly, if they do that, that's going to relieve a lot of congestion for the arteries that, like Highway 99, 231, 41A, that feed I-24. And so that's going to hopefully alleviate some congestion as well.
Now, you mentioned Jefferson Pike being worked on right now.
Yes, sir.
This person's asking, what about the old Nashville Highway? Is that included?
Not to my knowledge.
And would that be a state?
I guess
I don't think about the old Nashville Highway that much.
That old Nashville Highway.
The two-lane one.
Yeah, the old Nashville Highway is not a state route any longer. I don't believe. I'm pretty certain it's not.
They would drop them sometimes.
That would be in the city limits. That would be a state road. In the county, outside the city limits, that would be a county road. And I'm not sure where the caller is talking about specifically, but to my knowledge, that is not being considered for expansion.
Tell you what, let's do. Let's pause for just a moment. We will be back and take some more questions. We're in the final segment, so if you have a question or a comment, get it to us quickly.
What I like to think about Adams Place is it's sort of a pipeline.
Alan Butcher.
You enter in at the independent living end of it, and you go as far as you can. It just happens that my wife is in the memory unit, so I'm able to go over and see her each day, and that works out real well.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111.
Adams Place on Memorial, across from Walmart.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. All those friends you've made while banking here over the years, well, they're still there. And so are the delicious, warm, homemade cookies.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Everything you enjoyed at Capstar, still there at Old National Bank. Old National Bank, ready to serve you.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We are in the final moments. Rutherford County Mayor Joe Carr with us this morning. And we want to remind you once again, you need to be, if you're interested in Rutherford County and you have some thoughts on what our future should be, maybe there's something in particular that concerns you, you need to be over at the Lane Agri Park where the farmers market is tomorrow night. 5:30 to 7:30. It's sort of a walkthrough, and you can share your opinions.
Which are very important. Oh, very important.
It's so important. 615-893-1450. Do you have an update for us on the situation with the forensic center?
Yeah, so we've heard from our architect engineering. They're going to have a guaranteed GMP of what the construction cost of the project is going to be on or about the middle of February. There may be an opportunity. There's an outside chance that there may be an opportunity for some state funding, and we'll know that by the end of the year. Come the first of the year in January, I and my staff will begin to take this project to the county commission. Probably, I would say we're going to go to, obviously, public safety, chaired by Chairman Pettis Reed. We're going to go to probably health and education committee, chaired by Commissioner Chairman Phil Dodd. And then we'll probably also go to property management committee, chaired by Alan McAdoo. And we expect the project in total to come in less than $15 million total construction cost. Additionally, though, and more importantly, this project will not in any way increase property taxes, nor will this project in any way require us to borrow the money. And so as a result of this project, we will be able to save the county over $500,000 to $1 million a year reoccurring costs for what we're paying now. And it also, if we're successful, which I'm sure we will be, we will be able to offer this service to surrounding counties, and then they will pay us for their autopsy services. And then, of course, that would then help us with budgetarily the operations of the center. That would help us take down some of our costs.
Here's another question going in a totally different direction. This listener said they just pulled out of the tractor supply company and they could hardly see the traffic because of bushes. And they want to know, who do you contact when bushes make it impossible to see if you're moving into fast traffic?
So that would probably be the city, because both Tractor Supply companies, the one is on Martin Luther King Boulevard, and I go there pretty regularly, and I don't think there are bushes there. There may be, or it could be the one on John Rice Boulevard. I don't go there as much, but I would say either contact the manager for Tractor Supply or contact the city.
Okay, and if it ever pops up in the county, that issue, do you do trimming?
I personally do not. Okay. I can. I have a number of. I don't use a hedge trimmer. I use a chainsaw. If I'm gonna cut something, I'm using a chainsaw, and I'm using a big chainsaw. Well, I got all my chainsaws are 20-inch bars, so I'm looking to.
That's a man's chainsaw.
That's a man's chainsaw. Well, I got a sawmill, Bart, so I'm cutting. I've got a sawmill, so my son and I like to play with. So,
well, anyway. It sounds like you have a good time.
We do. My Joe Jr. and I, we really enjoy each other's company. He's 24. He's an amazing, godly young man. And as a parent, I could not be more proud of my kids, Aaron, Maddie, and Joe. So.
We have about a minute left in the broadcast. Did we leave anything out?
No, I'll tell you, one thing that I did want to mention, and I want to consider, I want you and I to talk off air about it. So Andy Herzer and I were talking about 501c3s on his show the other day. And I think, you know, the 501c3s, the faith-based groups, we have so many that do so much work in this community. You know, it's something, and they are tremendous partners with the county. Maybe something we could start talking about, some of the more obscure 501c3s in our community, Bart, as part of this show for maybe 5 minutes, and how they assist the county and how they assist the citizens. If that's something you would like to consider, I would like to talk about that a little bit, only because it shows the willingness of this community to give in so many ways. And this is a very, very giving community. And I don't think we highlight that enough. I know I don't, and I would like to do that. So maybe we can talk about that off air.
Absolutely. Let's make it a plan to do that. We'll bring it up next time. Our guest this morning is our county mayor, Joe Carr. And we remind you once again that public meeting tomorrow night, 5:30 until 7:30. And that's over at the Lane Agri Park, where the farmer's market is, 5:30 to 7:30 on Thursday night, tomorrow night. And then, of course, the final tribute to the sycamore tree, Wednesday morning, November the 6th. We'll be telling you more about that as we get a little bit closer. That's it for today on WGNS Murfreesboro.